a stat that's been blowing my mind and something I've only seen today, so I'm still kind of in a bit of a shock about it. 60% of people aged under 30 have completed at least one unpaid internship. Apparently, it's become widely accepted that to get a job in today's hyper-competitive workforce, you need to build a portfolio of experience. But while unpaid internships can allow you to learn new skills and build your network, are they lawful? I mean, are we on some really shaky ground here? Andrew Stewart is the John Bay Professor of Law at the University of Adelaide. Andrew, very good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, where are we legally in this idea of unpaid internships, seeing as how common they've become?
Well, about half of those 60% of under-30-year-olds who've done internships were doing those as part of some kind of educational training program. And the basic rule of thumb here is that you're allowed under our Fair Work laws to work for free if it's part of an authorised educational training program. So if you're doing that as part of a uni degree or a TAFE diploma or as part of a registered training package, then it's perfectly lawful to work. In fact, there's no limit to how long you can do unpaid work, but hopefully it's only a few weeks or possibly a few months. So that's perfectly lawful. But it's when we get outside there that we get into this really grey area. And basically, the view that I've taken in the research I've done, and this is also the view now being taken by the Fair Work Ombudsman, which is the agency that's responsible for enforcing the Fair Work laws, is that if you're working for free and it's not part of an educational training program, and you're not just shadowing people at work, you're not just observing them or being given, you know, pretend tasks to do, which obviously some people do. So if you think about a lot of school students do as part of their work experience, it's mostly just observing what other people do. If you're not doing that, if you're actually doing productive work, then there's a good argument that you are, in fact, an employee and you're entitled not just to be paid, but to be paid the minimum wage that's set for that job, usually by an award. So in the last few years, we've seen a number of businesses being taken to court by the Fair Work Ombudsman and fined for not paying interns. So this is gradually something that's coming to be understood, but as you say, there's a lot of this about.
There is a lot of it about, and as you said, it's a greyish area, but I feel like there's a power imbalance here. If you were an unpaid intern trying to desperately get a job, would you then complain about an employer exploiting you, or would you be terrified that that is going to be a black mark on your career for the rest of your life?
It's definitely a problem, and it's one reason I think we haven't seen more cases come before the courts. It is that problem of people not wanting to complain. And one other stat, which I think is also fair to quote, is that from the survey from which the figures that you've been talking came out, that survey showed that the great majority of people who've done an unpaid internship or an unpaid job placement were actually happy with what they'd done. They were satisfied that it had given them skills or experience, and there was generally a strong degree of confidence that it would help them to get a job. So a lot of the time when people go and do these unpaid internships, they're willing to do them. They feel like they're being given good experience or contacts and that it will help. The funny thing is, though, when you drill down to the figures, which the research team I'm part of has done, it's actually hard to see whether or not doing an internship actually helps you to get a job. There's this powerful belief out there that it does, but at the moment, we actually can't see hard evidence that doing the unpaid internship is the thing that actually makes a difference to you getting a job or not.
Now, that is really interesting because, of course, that is the, you know, colloquial sense is that, of course, you go and do this and it's going to be great. And on a CV, it's going to show people how dedicated you are. You're suggesting that maybe that's all a bit of a smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, it's possible that the people who are doing the unpaid internships and then going ahead and getting jobs are the ones who'd have done so anyway because of their record, because of their contacts, because of their abilities. So cause and effect here is very hard to determine. You know, we have a lot of chicken and eggs here. So I don't want to say that we know for sure that unpaid internships are a waste of time. They're certainly believed to be really valuable. And I don't think, in many cases, I don't think there's any doubt that they are valuable experiences. But there is another issue here, which I think we need to be aware of, and that's who might be excluded in this process. If it becomes standard in a really, really wide range of professions to do unpaid work, to be able to break into what is very often a competitive labour market, we have to ask, who is that excluding? And the answer is very often people who struggle to afford to work for free. I mean, it's much easier to go and do unpaid work if you're living at home and you've got your parents to support you, or you've got money set aside of your own where you can afford to do that. But for a lot of people, particularly from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, there's also an issue here, people living in rural areas where, you know, internship opportunities may be way off in the capital city somewhere. There are problems here of social exclusion. And that's one reason why in a number of countries around the world, increasingly we see governments looking to put limits on these internships, precisely in order to ensure that we don't have these barriers being erected or being lifted for people, you know, from poorer backgrounds.
So is it time maybe for federal or state governments to step in, redefine internships as not just relating to an educational institution, and provide a better framework for this?
I think it is. I think, in fact, there's at least three things that governments could do. Firstly, they could look at limiting the exemption for educational internships to put some time limits on them and to require appropriate supervision from the educational institution or the training organisation. Now, that generally happens anyway, but it's not mandated. So that's one thing that could happen. A second thing would be being much clearer in the law about when an internship outside of educational training is lawful. But the third thing that governments could do, and this is something the British government did, under a Conservative government, interestingly, is have a look at government's own practices. Have a look at the number of unpaid internships that are available as part of government departments and say, well, if we're going to be taking people in and doing useful work, shouldn't we be acting as a model employer and actually paying these workers? So cracking down on the use of unpaid internships within government is something that doesn't need any change of the law at all. It's something where governments could take a lead even without going ahead and proposing new legislation.
Well, hopefully we'll see some movement on that. We will unfortunately have to leave it there. Andrew, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome, Nick.
Thank you. That was Professor Andrew Stewart there from the University of Adelaide talking to about the slightly hazy area of unpaid internships, but the fact that we could have a framework that could make it beneficial for absolutely everyone involved.